This afternoon, I just want to speak just a little while of something kind of about the life of Joseph. Joseph was a great, great Bible character, and God mightily used him. And I don't know how many times in the last year or two, I've just studied Genesis beginning with chapter 12 and beginning of the Hebrew race, and all the way through to the end of it. And in that, you can see there's no place where you see the hand of God working out His own purpose any more than you do, especially in the life of Joseph.
Right.
See, God works by purpose. Everything God does, He does it on purpose.
Amen.
When He saved me, He did that on purpose.
Amen.
And when He saved you, He did that on purpose. Amen. Well, no accident. And He didn't have to stop and scratch His head and wonder how He's going to do it. That's all taken care of in the eternal purpose of God before the world ever was. And I don't want to be too critical of people that still believe in free will. I don't believe in free will. I don't believe we have a free will. I believe the only man that ever had a free will was Adam, and he lost it very quickly.
Right.
And the rest of us, we're free agents. That is, we act freely. There's nothing outside of us that makes us do anything. Our problem is that inside of us, that old fallen nature.
Amen.
And our will is not free. And anyone that thinks it is, they've got a rude awakening come. But I hear them talking about that. And they'll say, now, God's too much of a gentleman to invade your will. If He don't invade your will, you'll go to hell as sure as you're sitting there.
Amen.
Because you're not going to will to come to Him. And so, okay, he said, well, I don't believe He'll bring you in by the hair of your head. I don't either. But He'll make you willing.
Amen.
He'll make you willing in the day of His power.
Amen.
I can remember all of my life. I never was crazy enough to want to go to hell, but I didn't want to go to heaven either. I kind of want to stay like I was. I didn't want to repent. But you know, when God really got a hold to me and me, I come to the place where I wanted to be saved worse than I wanted anything in all the world.
Amen.
I wanted that worse than I'd have wanted to own all the universe.
Right.
Now, why did I turn and come like that? Grace.
Right.
Grace.
Amen.
Somebody said, so-and-so led me to the Lord. The Holy Ghost led me to Jesus.
Right.
Now, He used human instrumentality, but He introduced me to the Son of God.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody ever really believes that Jesus is the eternal Son of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And but anyway, testifying a little bit there. But God is a God of purpose. Everything God's done in time, He purposed that in eternity.
Amen.
And He works it. And nothing, He don't deviate. He don't ever have to take a shortcut. He don't ever have to look for a second plan.
Amen.
He just works it right along. And in Genesis chapter 50, I'm going to use a verse of Scripture here to kindly launch this, where Joseph was talking to his brothers. Their father had died. Jacob was dead now, and his brothers got very nervous, and rightly so. Sin will make you nervous. And so, and when Joseph's brethren saw, this verse 15, that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, broke his heart. Christ, when we meet Christ, we ain't going to mention nothing about our sins. He's done taking them away. And Joseph is a beautiful type of Christ. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face And they said, behold, we be thy servants. We'll do that. But notice verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. Or literally, I'm in the place God put me. So here he said, in other words, where I am, God put me here for a purpose.
Amen.
Verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Oh me, what a day it's going to be when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one whom our sins crucified. And betrayed him.
Right.
But yet all of that's gone. Joseph said, that's gone. I'm down here because God put me here. And what did he put me here for? He put me here to save much people alive. See, God's purpose was to for Israel to go down into Egypt and to spend for over 400 years. If you read Genesis 15, God said to Abraham, know this for a surety, that thy posterity or thy people that come out of thy loins, they shall live in a strange land and be evilly treated for 400 years. See, God purposed that. Was there any other way God could have done it? Yeah, but it wouldn't have been according to his purpose. He had a purpose in this. And so now we see that God has brought them down into Egypt, and he sent Joseph before them to preserve them a posterity. Now, let me just give you a few things in passing this afternoon, and you can study. If you don't study the beginning with Abraham through Joseph, you're going to miss something.
Amen.
I mean that. That is tremendous history that God's given us of how he dealt with it and brought about our Savior.
Right.
But you remember Joseph grew up and he was the favorite of his father. And his brethren hated him because his father loved him more than he loved them. And so as a result of that, they decided to destroy Joseph. And so they'd gone off taking care of feeding the stock or somewhere. And so Jacob said to Joseph, I want you to go to your brethren and see how they're doing and so forth and so on. You can go back and read all of that. And, you know, they saw him coming and they said, here comes this dreamer. Because Joseph had revealed his dreams, what God had told him, and it made him angry. And so they had him and is ready to kill him. But Reuben intervened. And one of them said, well, why kill him? I think that was Judah. Said, why kill him? Why don't we just sell him? There comes an Ishmaelite band. Isn't that interesting that they came at the right time? That's Romans 8:28, folks. And so they said, there comes an Ishmaelite band. Why don't we just sell him and then his blood won't be on our hand and we'll be rid of him. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites, gypsies. And they took him down into Egypt. And who bought him? Potiphar. Potiphar was a ruler in the court of Pharaoh. And he bought him. Well, Joseph was such a shining example. It wasn't long until Potiphar decided that he was being blessed because of Joseph. And boy, everything was going well. Joseph was just prospering and doing good. And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife decided she wanted to commit adultery with him. And she began to approach him. And he said, no, I can't do that. He said, I can't sin against my master and against my God. Said he's put everything else he's got under my control except you. And of course she made the pass and finally Joseph left part of his coat there, fleeing out of there, and she used that and accused him of trying to rape her. So Potiphar took and throwed him in the prison. Say, oh, isn't that so bad? He'd been there a while, and Pharaoh put his two servants in there, the butler and the baker. Do you see what I'm talking about? You see how God worked all that? No trouble at all for him to do. And so they got in there and they dreamed dreams. And nobody could interpret them. And so Joseph said, tell me your dreams. And they did, and he interpreted them. Told one of them, said, in 3 days, God's going to raise you back up to your position. And he said to the other, the baker, said he's going to raise you up in 3 days and hang you. And both of them come to pass. And so Joseph said to the one that was getting out, he said, you be sure and remember me when you get out of here. Got out and forgot all about him. Why? Because it wasn't time for him to get out. And so therefore, 2 years passed. And Pharaoh had a dream. And nobody could interpret that dream. And it was the butler. He said, you know, I remember my fault this day. He said, there's a Hebrew in that dungeon down there. And said, he can interpret dreams. And bold Pharaoh said, get him. Now, you think 2 years before, had he got out when he wanted to, Pharaoh would have been interested in him? Not at all. See, God times everything in our life after the counsel of his own will. That's not always easy to see, but it's the truth. If you're a child of God, if God has redeemed you, there's nothing happening to you that God did not intend to happen to you.
Amen.
It's exactly what's said in Acts 4. Lord, they've gathered to do what thy hand has determined for to be done. They don't want to do any more than that. They're threatening Peter and John, you know, said you can't preach in Jesus' name anymore and all of that. Peter and John said, well, is it right that we hearken to men or to God? They threatened them and turned them loose, and they went back and told their company or the church. What did the church do? They called their congressman. That's what we think about. No, they called heaven. And they said, all they're going to do is what you have determined before to be done. By the way, that word there in, I think it's that 28th verse, is the same word we get predestination from. People so hate it. You know, you can preach that word. If you preach predestination, oh me. But see, God was working. Why? He was going to get Joseph down into Egypt. Why? Because the famine was coming. And Egypt was going to be where he was going to maintain Jacob and his family.
That's right. Amen.
So Joseph bring him up out of there. He cleaned up and come up for him. And he interpreted that dream to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was so happy about it. And he revealed to him there's going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years and so forth. And Pharaoh said, we need somebody to be in charge of this thing. And who's so wise as Joseph? This is shouting grounds. It ought to make the coldest Presbyterian in the world shout. That's our God. I'm not talking about an alien God. I'm talking about our God. The same God that worked all of that, the one that's been working in all of our lives, if you say.
Amen.
God brought people into my life when he really began to work on me. And I found myself doing things I didn't even want to do. They talked me into going to church. And I'd been out of church a long time. I was raised in a good Christian family, but I just... rebellious. And they not only got me to go that morning and the preacher eat me up, they took me out and bought my dinner and took me back for afternoon service, and it's worse.
Amen.
I mean, he told me what kind of fellow I was. Did that happen by accident? No.
Amen.
And I never could get away from that.
Amen.
I mean, it stuck to me like glue. And I finally got where honest. I was afraid to go to sleep. I'd afraid I'd die and go to hell.
Amen.
But blessed be God one Friday morning.
Amen.
I got all of that settled.
Amen.
But not a minute before he intended it. I used to think, I wish I'd have been saved. No, I saved exactly on time.
Amen.
God wasn't a minute late or a minute early.
Amen.
That Friday morning about 10 o'clock, something like that, of all places, sitting in a sales meeting. God brought peace to my heart.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
But now we got Joseph down there in that position, and so they said, well, there ain't nobody as wise as Joseph is. And so what did old Pharaoh do? He made him the second in command. Gave him a chariot to ride around in and servants and all of that. Can't you imagine Potiphar's wife every time she'd see him coming down the way? Said, uh-oh, I've had it now. But no, Joseph was not a vengeful person. He's a type of the Savior.
Amen.
But what do? The famine comes on. They run out of food. They hear that down in Egypt they got food. And so Jacob said to his sons that were there, said, get down there and buy us some food. And they went down there, and who did they meet? They didn't know who he was the first time. And Israel didn't know who the Savior was the first time. But they'll know him the second time.
Right.
And, of course, Joseph knew who they were. And so they worked that thing. And finally, he told them, said, you go back and get her dad. He revealed who he was. And they went and got him, brought him down there, you know, and they lived there. And so they were fearful all the time that he's going to turn back. But I think it's in the 45th chapter, yeah, the 7th verse. Here Joseph says to them, verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. How did he get down to Egypt? God sent him. How did he send him? Send him in an Ishmaelite caravan as a slave.
Amen.
But we find him sitting on the throne down there.
Right.
Then he said, verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and ruler throughout all the land. Jacob said, no, you all didn't send me down here. He was just a vehicle that God used.
Right.
Your hatred and jealousy and all of that was just a vehicle. You know, that's something else. The Bible said God made everything for himself, and he made the wicked for the day of evil.
Right.
That'll curl a hair if some people think they're sovereign grace. Said he made. Somebody said, well, I just don't, well, you better get to believe in the Bible. If you don't believe in reprobation, you better get to studying your Bible. It's just in there just sure as the world. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 9, it said of the same lump, he made one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor. He hath made.
Right.
I don't understand that, but that's what the book says.
Amen.
So what they were saying, no, you're feeling bad. You didn't send me down here. God sent me down here. Why? To preserve you.
Amen.
Now see, they had to be preserved. Because from the loins of Abraham is where the Savior was coming from.
Amen.
The devil could have destroyed that nation, see, he'd have cut off the Savior. But he couldn't do that. So therefore, Joseph, a type of Christ, was sent down there for the purpose to preserve a posterity, preserve a nation. And through that nation came the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior.
Amen.
So God works with an eternal purpose, and that's the way he's working in your life and mine. And the more I see that, the more, I guess you'd say, the more peace I have not to worry about what's happening. And there's some dangerous things going to happen. And they are happening. But I want to tell you something. If you belong to God, God's going to work according to his eternal purpose in your life.
Amen.
Whether it be by life or by death. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
That's Romans 8:28, and that is Norton. I just kind of told a story. But I hope I whetted your appetite enough to study. Just read it sometime, go along, and just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he'll start pointing out things to you.
Amen.
When I like to do this is when I wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I do that many, many mornings. And sometimes I wake up and I don't know, I just feel kindly oppressed. And I get up and get that book. And it's not long till I forget all about what that was.
Amen.
Sometime I'll read till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Just take portions of the Bible, just read it as I go through it, and just see what the Holy Spirit will give me while I'm going through there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better than studying television.
Right.
I mean, believe it or not, that's even better than Kentucky basketball.
Yes. Right.
And that's about as good as Nanner Pudding to most people, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like God warming your heart and making himself real to you. Whetting your appetite for his blessed word. Feeding up on it. I've had some anxiety attacks. I guess that's why it's the only thing I can call them. I think they're attacks from the devil, to be honest with you. But and I say this by God's grace, but I've learned to beat them with that book. Just reading, and there, next thing you know, somehow or other, your mind's clear off of that, and so on this.
Amen.
So, Joseph said, don't worry. Don't feel bad. I'm in God's stead. I'm here because God sent me here. This is the place I'm supposed to be, and what you did, God used it for his glory. Not necessarily to make it right what they did, but God used it. God ordained that. You believe that?
Amen.
I know Sunday afternoon services are hard because it's hard to stay awake. But I hope, if nothing else, what I was trying to do this afternoon, I'm just trying to stir your appetite up to studying and always realize when you're studying the Bible, you're studying a book that's written from purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
God has never done anything that he didn't purpose.
Right.
And so whatever's happened in your life, the Bible said, for we know that all things work together for the good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And a lot of bad things happen. That's like what I'm facing. I don't know. You know what it might be? It's a couple of problems. I really don't know. I'm trusting God. But I'll tell you one thing, there won't be anything happen that God hadn't ordained.
Right.
If I can keep that in mind and the devil not shake me up too much, whatever it is, I'll be able to handle it.
Amen.
Because my Heavenly Father, he don't appoint anything for me that's not good.
Amen.
Not at all. And it's hard, I know people's having, I mean, I'm talking about really serious, serious health problems. And I don't know whether mine would be that serious or not. Some people tell me that thing with my carotid artery is not all that serious to take care of. But I'll tell you what, if you're cutting on my little finger, that's major surgery. You don't have to, it don't have to be categorized some other way. It's major surgery if it's on me. So if they have to knock me out and go to cutting around there, that's going to be major. But thank God I don't know anything about it until I wake up. No, I love the Lord. I want to glorify Him. Oh, how good He's been to me. And He's real.
Amen.
See, I was talking about the God of Joseph, but the God of Joseph is my God.
Amen. That's right.
He's not another God. So read your Bible, spend time in it. Don't neglect it. And it'll surprise you what the Lord will show you.
Amen.
Just from reading.